that as Christians, we are the most blessed people in the world. We are blessed not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. We belong to God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Not only do we have our eternity guaranteed in Him, that we will be with Him forever and ever and ever, but also our present is being looked after by Him as well. And through His Word, the Holy Word of God, the Scripture, He has been kind enough to give us some insight as to things that are going to happen yet in the future. No other religious writing does that. That's because no other religious writing comes from God Almighty. And the Bible, the Scripture, the Old and the New Testament, this is indeed the Word of God. And God gives us the instructions that He wants us to have to live, and also the instructions as to what's going to happen in the future to the extent that He wants us to know and as it is being revealed to us. You know that in our journey of taking a look at what's going to happen in the future, we're looking at what is known as the tribulation period. And in that tribulation period, there are various judgments that occur. There's the judgment of the seals, the seal judgment. There's the trumpet judgment. And then there is the vial or the bowl judgments that will be coming. This morning, we're going to be concentrating on the first part of the trumpet judgments. But what we need to do is keep in mind that supernaturally, John the Apostle, the beloved Apostle, was taken from the first century and transported in a way that I don't fully understand, but only as God could do. Only as a supernatural activity of God Almighty, John was transported from the first century to the 21st century, maybe the 22nd. Who knows how much longer the Lord is going to wait before He comes. I'm praying that it'll be soon. But nonetheless, John was transported to that time. Put yourself in John's position. If God had given him visions of chariots and horses and donkeys and camels, he would have understood completely what that was about. That was his world. That's what he knew about. But God didn't give him those visions. He gave him visions of something that was taking place in the 20th or 21st or 22nd century, beyond John's imagination, beyond our imagination in many ways. So when we think about it, here was John transported from the world of horses and donkeys and camels and chariots and wagons to a time like today. Think what he would say. How would he describe motor cars or airplanes or trucks or trains or any of these things or rockets or ICBMs? How would he describe all these things? He would have to use the vocabulary that was familiar to him at the time. And so therefore, when he has been transported 20 or so centuries ahead of time, he had quite a challenge ahead of him in order to write down what was taking place and what he saw. Bible students for years have studied the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and other prophets in the Old Testament, and they've assumed that everything that is unfolding in the book of Revelation was going to be because of some supernatural event that God was going to orchestrate. And that is perhaps exactly what is going to happen. But there is another possibility. There's another possibility, and that is because of the way in which society has gone throughout the world, because of our so-called advancements in many areas, perhaps, just perhaps, some of the things that John saw, they were events allowed by God Almighty, but some of them may well have been because of what mankind can do to mankind. Be that as it may, it doesn't matter. We know that these things are going to happen. You and I know that some of these supernatural events that we're going to read about could happen because someone pressed a button at the wrong time for some sort of a nuclear battle of some nature. Well, anyway, as we look at this passage this morning, we're going to see some things that are astounding. I believe it is vitally important for every Christian to know what the book of Revelation has to say. It is future. It is still future. It may not be as far future as some people think. So, we're going to read Revelation chapter 8, verses 6 to 11. Revelation chapter 8, verses 6 to 11. So let us hear the word of God. Then the seven angels, who had the seven trumpets, prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, this is your word. We thank you for giving us some insight into the future, and we pray that you will allow us to absorb all that we hear this morning from your word, and that it will make a difference in the way in which we live our lives, particularly as we reach out to those who know not Christ as Savior. Hear our prayer, O God. Incline your ear toward us and grant us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to see an overall slide. The first slide, please. And this is a telescopic judgment of Revelation. Now, I don't know how well you can see it, but you'll notice on the left there are seven seals. You'll notice at the end, the seventh seal, there's an arrow. There's an arrow points down because the seventh seal, when it was unrolled, reveals the next set of judgments, the trumpet judgments. You'll notice at the end of the trumpet judgments, there are three woes. The scripture talks about woe, woe, woe. We'll get to that at a later time. The seventh trumpet points down to the next series of judgments called the seven vials, or sometimes referred to as the seven bowls. Now, I want you to look at something else. At the bottom of the screen, you'll see a cross. That is when Jesus was here on earth. That was the beginning of the church age. The church age began at Pentecost after Jesus ascended on high and then he sent his Holy Spirit. That's when the church age began. We are still in the church age. When you come to the first little white bar, what is missing on this particular slide is an arrow that would go up. At the end of the church age, which is called the rapture, the rapture is the time when every true believer will be taken up to be with God forever and forever. True believers, the church of Jesus Christ, will go up at that point. Then the people left behind on earth will go through the seven-year tribulation period. The scripture tells us it'll be approximately 7 years. At the end of that seven-year period, you'll see the words millennium. That's when our blessed Savior comes. At the end of the seven-year period, he places his precious foot on the Mount of Olives. It splits in two. There's a great valley that occurs because of it, and Jesus will establish his kingdom. And every single believer on earth, who were on earth, now in heaven with him, will come back with him, and we will be reigning with him in some way. This is a praise God item. Take a look at the next slide, please. The next slide tells us about seven trumpets. Talks about angels. They're males. He, it says, when he blew his trumpet. This is one way in which they may look. Here's a second way. The next slide. Or perhaps the angels look like this. Don't know. These are human artistic interpretations of angels. Some people have seen angels. I remember many years ago when we were in the old church. We had a lady of our congregation, and I was standing at the front, and we had an overhead projector at that time, not this kind of projector. And at any rate, this lady used to be able to see things in her spirit that most of us didn't see. And on one occasion, at the end of the service, she said, "Pastor, I want to tell you that behind you this morning, there was an angel that was 10 feet tall." Now, I didn't feel the angel, I didn't see the angel, I didn't hear the angel, but she had a special insight in those days, and she's gone to glory now. But nonetheless, we do not know when we entertain angels. We may be entertaining someone who looks perfectly human, but they may be an angel in disguise. I believe in angels. Angels are part of God's creation. And there are angels that have been set aside for very specific duties. And one of those duties, in one sense it must be sad to them, but in one sense there were seven angels that were determined that they were to blow the trumpets. And each of these trumpets unfolded, revealed a judgment that was yet coming to this earth. A judgment that is coming upon unbelieving people. People who refuse to put their trust in Jesus or to even listen to him. So now we have the next slide, the first trumpet. The first trumpet. We read this in Scripture. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up. I wonder what John saw. He'd been transported into the future. Do you suppose that he saw a supernatural event with all this fire going on that was similar to the fire and brimstone, the hail fire and brimstone that came down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, or the hail and fire that came down when the Egyptians held on to the Israelites and before the Israelites were moving out? I don't know what he saw, but this is what is described in Scripture. Do you suppose that it might even be mankind's revenge on mankind, where somebody has pressed a button and an intercontinental ballistic missile somehow or missile has come into certain parts of the world? I don't know. What we do know is that this is going to happen. In Scripture, hail often speaks of sudden judgment. That's what happened to the Egyptians. Fire speaks of God's wrath that comes down upon people. And blood speaks of death. This past summer, we know if we were watching the news, fires ran rampant in Brazil, in Africa, and in parts of North America. Fires absolutely devastating. We can understand the enormity of this judgment. Now, the picture to the right on the screen, this is a picture from just a few weeks ago from Australia, the fire that was going on there. Believe me, this fire that took place in Australia was absolutely devastating. Was it the fire of the first trumpet? No, but it is a precursor of the first trumpet. This world may not understand. We as believers, we can understand because we have insight that unbelievers don't have. This is a precursor to what will be happening throughout the earth someday in the future and maybe not too far away. Just think about it. One-third of the earth will be burned. One-third of all trees will be gone. And we note all the green grass will be burned up. Can you imagine it? I get a little disturbed toward the end of the summer when the grass in our property is burned up. Comes back to life again, praise be to God. But it says all the green grass is going to be burned up. There's a massive loss of vegetation. There will be great soil erosion because of it. There will be floods and mudslides. Air pollution will be absolutely immense. When we think about this fire in Australia and the smoke that emanated from it, and it went all the way over to New Zealand and other places throughout the world, the sun was obliterated because of the great amount of pollution that was there. Our ecology is going to be chaotically out of order. Again, this past summer, we heard great cries of concern about the burning of the Amazon rainforest. Severe results because of it. Yet one-third of the earth will be damaged. But God, in his graciousness, allows two-thirds to remain okay. One-third, it's a judgment. What is the overall purpose of the seal judgments that we've dealt with? The overall purpose of the trumpet judgments that we're now dealing with? The overall purpose of the coming vial or bowl judgments? The purpose is to encourage people to turn to God. Turn to God through Jesus Christ. Sadly, many people will not. But we need to be alert. You and I, as believers alive today, we need to be alert as to what's going to happen. Because you and I have concerns about our unsaved family members, our unsaved friends, our unsaved neighbors. You and I have concerns about it. And we should have concern. This is coming. It's going to happen. Precisely when remains to be seen, but it is coming. That is the first trumpet. Trumpet judgment on vegetation. The second trumpet. judgment of the ocean. The scripture says, the second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Just think about it. This is absolutely amazing. It is devastating. How could it possibly be? You notice John's words, though. John did not say a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. That's not what he said. What he said was something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. What did he see? Remember, John was observing this phenomenon with first century eyes and with first century vocabulary. What could it be? It could be a fiery meteor descending from the atmosphere on Earth. Or might it even be a nuclear explosion of some kind. Scientists tell us that a hydrogen bomb exploding in the ocean would look like a huge flaming mountain smashing into the sea. Whatever it will be, it will have a devastating effect. John tells us that one third of the sea would turn to blood. One third of all marine life would be killed. And I'm sort of presuming that the reason for the sea turning into blood is because of the sea creatures, sea animals, sea inhabitants that have been killed. And one third of the seagoing vessels will be destroyed. Again, the source of devastation could either come directly from God of heaven, or it could be from the power already in the hands of human leaders. We all know that one mad person, could put their finger prematurely on a button and great devastation could occur. We know that there are so-called world leaders today who have threatened all sorts of damage upon other countries. Think of Iran or North Korea or China or Pakistan or Russia for a few. Who knows on the human level what is around the corner? Think for a minute about one third of all ocean-going vessels being destroyed. How could this possibly happen? It could happen through God creating natural disasters, through a tidal wave or an earthquake or something along that line. That could happen. It could also happen because one country decides that they want to destroy another country, or perhaps they want to get rid of all the warships. But the scripture doesn't just say warships. It says one third of all the ships on the ocean. Now think about it. Think about us in Canada, how many goods we receive economically via ship that ends up on our shores. The world economy is going to be absolutely devastated if a third of the ocean-going ships are going to be destroyed. But the trumpets are not through blowing yet. We've only talked about the first and second trumpet. Now the third trumpet. The third trumpet, the judgment on freshwater pollution. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. One of the other reasons as to why many preachers do not preach on the book of Revelation is because there are so many negative events that are going to occur. And yes, that is absolutely true. There are many negative predictions. This world is going to go through hell on earth during that time. And we are not finished with the trumpet judgments. There are bold and vile judgments even to come after that. However, in good conscience, these passages of Scripture must not be ignored. Believers need to know what lies in the future. Believers need to pray for a heart for the unsaved. Believers need to be vitally concerned about our unsaved family members, our friends, our acquaintances. Believers need to know there are serious times ahead, and unbelievers need to be confronted with the truth of Scripture. In the midst of the seriousness of all this, people need to know that God still has a plan for salvation. And it is for every person to place their trust in Jesus as Savior, their complete trust in Him, not in what we do to save ourselves, not that we deserve anything, rather in who Jesus is and what He's done for us. The world needs to know that Jesus did come to this earth. He lived, He died for a purpose, and He rose again. And He's alive forevermore, and He's in heaven, and He's coming back someday. And when He died, He did that for a purpose, and that was to pay for your sin and mine, sins that we could not pay for, and He paid for. And what you and I need to do is say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner before an absolutely holy and righteous God. I do not deserve anything that you have to offer. And Lord Jesus, I now know that you've died for me. You paid for my sin that I could not pay for. I thank you for it. I place all my trust in you, and I want you to come into my life. Please come into my life and make me, dramatically or slowly, the kind of person that you want me to be. So far in these judgments, we've discovered 1/3 of the earth will be burned up. 1/3 of the trees will be burned up. All the grass will be burned up. 1/3 of the sea will be turned into blood. 1/3 of all sea creatures will die. 1/3 of all ships, ocean-going ships, will be destroyed. And now in the third trumpet, we discover 1/3 of the rivers will become bitter. 1/3 of the springs of living water will become bitter. 1/3 of the many people will die because of this judgment. Perhaps there are those among us who can remember back to 1979 when in the United States, a place called Three Mile Island, nuclear radiation leak that took place and many people were affected because of it. Or perhaps we can even think back to 1986 and that name Chernobyl over in a Europe area where there was a great radiation leak. And people are still suffering from that today, from the radiation leak that took place then. It's kind of interesting. One dictionary tells us this about the word Chernobyl. Chernobyl is a Ukrainian name for mugwort, a plant, which is a species of plant known. A common name is wormwood. Think about it. The name Chernobyl was a nuclear reaction, and it's like a plant, the name, from Ukrainian, as it's translated, and it means wormwood. Now, do you suppose that the biblical word, wormwood, refers to radiation poisoning of some nature in all the drinkable waters on Earth? I don't know. But maybe indeed it does. It seems to be a little bit more than just coincidence when we talk about Chernobyl in our day. And then think of the word wormwood. In the midst of the seriousness of all this, people need to know that God has a plan for salvation. It is so simple. Can it be that simple? Yes, it is. It is putting your trust in Jesus as Savior. Now, we are living in a time when the rapture could occur at any moment. In fact, as believers, we are to live our lives as though the rapture is going to happen today. But we are to plan our lives as though it's not going to happen for 100 years. But you and I need to live our life as though that rapture could occur at any moment. And believe me, from what I understand from prophetic teachings in Scripture, there is no other event, pre-rapture event, that has to happen before the rapture will occur. It could happen at any time, and you and I need to be ready. So we continue to plan ahead, but we anticipate our Savior's trumpet call. Now, His trumpet call is going to be quite different from the trumpet calls that we've been dealing with. There are 7 trumpets. We've looked at 3 of them. These trumpets announce judgment. They announce devastation. They announce catastrophic events. But when the Savior's trumpet sounds, believe me, it's not going to be that. It means He is calling every single person who puts their trust in Him to be with Him forever and forever and forever.